Again, it's a tremendous joy and great blessing to be here at Fire in Our Bones again this year with my dear, dear friend, Pastor Gary Wilkerson, and all of our dear friends at World Challenge. And thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to come to meet with the Lord. Amen? You know, when we meet with the Lord, there's no better place. You know, the tent of meeting that Moses was instructed by the Lord to build at had the outer court and the holy place, and then the Holy of Holies. It was the place where the people would meet with God and get instructions. They would worship and they would get instructions on how to move and how to go forward. And when the cloud moved, they had to go with the cloud. Amen. And I tell you, the cloud of God is moving across this earth, and the Lord wants us to move in step with Him. Amen. And when we're moving in step with the Lord, then we will fulfill His purpose, His plans that He has ordained for us individually and corporately as the people of God to fulfill. And so I want to encourage you, keep meeting with the Lord and keep receiving from Him so that we can move in step with Him. Those who are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And so when we're led by the Spirit of God, when we move when the cloud moves, when we step when God steps, and we join Him where He's at work, hallelujah, not dragging our feet, then we're going to find the glory, the power, and strength to continue to persevere in all that God has called us to. Amen? Hallelujah. The message I want to share with you this afternoon is cultivating a culture of revelation. Now, when I speak about revelation, I'm speaking about the unveiling and the unfolding of Jesus more and more in our lives. Amen. He is the revelation. So there are some things that are hidden. Jesus has made known to us who He is through His word, and He has made known to us who He is in how He moves in our lives. But how many of you know that He is so much bigger and so much greater than we can understand or see? Amen. And so we need the Lord to continually lead us to unveiling of who Christ is in our lives. The patriarchs of old, they didn't have the written word that we have, and so they really lived on rhema. They heard from God, and then they stepped into what God said, and they began to move at His voice. And so when we get the voice of God in our lives, then we will have the ability, that revelation and strength to be able to move forward. Reverence and awe are the marks of God's glory. And so when God's glory comes, there's a reverence and an awe that comes to us, but we need to continually hear from God. When we don't hear from God, then we start living on yesterday's manna. Amen. We start doing what we've always done. We sing what we've always sang. We step where we've always stepped, but when we live in a culture of revelation, then we are able to move forward in all that God has for us. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, and I want to read a passage there as we get ready to move forward in the remarks that I believe that God wants me to make here in this next season that we're together. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Anybody feel weak today? Yes. Amen. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. To cultivate a revelation in our lives, we have to meet with Jesus. Remember at Mount Sinai, when Moses met with God upon the mountain, the children of Israel said, now you go meet with them, because we don't want to deal with what we hear coming out of that mountain. And then you come back and tell us what He said, and then we'll move. But that's not the mountain that we're in. We're part of Mount Zion, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a moment. Hallelujah, where David pitched his tent on the hill outside of Jerusalem, and he had free-flowing worship and praise before God. Amen. And he heard from God, and God directed him and gave him strength for all the battles that he entered into, and how he could be a wise and anointed king. God wants us to be wise and anointed and fulfill the purpose with joy that he has set before us. So we have to keep hearing his voice. Hallelujah. Do you know the voice of God? Have you heard his voice? When he speaks to you, things change. No, you change. Amen. Hallelujah. Because most of the time when God's talking to you, he's not talking to you about the pastor of the church down the street. He's not talking to you about your neighbor next door. He's talking about you because he's doing some business with you. Amen. That's why we need to have him continually talk to us. And this cultural revelation is not just about your ministry, but it's about your life. It's about how to live and how to do and how to be who God's called us to be in this hour. Jesus is our high priest, and he opened the veil, and we are now able to enter into the Holy of Holies, and the Holy of Holies is our home. Oh, that was weak, y'all. The Holy of Holies is our home. That's what the writer of Hebrews tells us, that God, through Jesus Christ, has opened up a new and living way. And so we are to live in the Holy of Holies. But many times we're satisfied being in the outer court, just kind of jumping up and down and making some noise and kind of dancing around and playing around. But we are supposed to live in the Holy of Holies. That's the place that God has opened up for us. And if we're not in that place, we're in the wrong place. Hallelujah. We don't just run into the throne room and ask for mercy and grace. We live in the throne room so that we're always obtaining mercy and grace. In the hour that we're living in, if we're not continually obtaining mercy and grace, we won't know how to stand. We won't know how to live. We won't know how to fulfill our call. Hallelujah. Do you love living in the Holy of Holies? Or do you just run in when you have a need? And when you don't have a need, say, God, I got this. I have some training. I have some experience. I have some ability. I know how to do a few things, but if I get in trouble, I know where you are, and I'll run in there and catch up with you in a minute. No. He says, come boldly. Come into the throne of grace. Oh, how we need his grace. We need his power. We need his wisdom. We need his favor. We need his goodness. We need his loving kindness that is better than life and is found in the holy place. Why do we stay out of the holy place? Why do we stay in that place on the outer court? Are there some things that we're putting before God? Are there some things that we're lifting up above him and we're ashamed to come into his presence? If we don't run into his presence day and night, night and day, day and night, night and day, may that incense arise. Hallelujah. That incense arise when we're in the Holy of Holies and we're with Jesus. The Bible says we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why do we sit in the outer court and are being satisfied with the outer court? We were built for the Holy of Holies. That's our home. That's our home. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. You got any joy in your life? You see, when we dwell where God is, then we will always have joy and we will have strength for the journey. Nehemiah 8:10 says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The reason our hands hang down and our head is bowed low many times is because we've given out of strength, because we haven't been in the throne room. We haven't been abiding and dwelling in the throne room. We've been dwelling somewhere else. We've pitched our tent in the wrong place. Lot pitched his tent toward Ai, Where are we pitching our tent today? We must pitch our tent toward the Lord. And when the Holy Spirit comes, God has pitched his tent in us. We are his dwelling place. Hallelujah. And he says, I want to dwell with you. I want to walk with you. I want to live in you. You are mine, says the Lord. They shall be mine. And in that place of dwelling with the Lord, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. And then we're able to tell the other half of the story. Amen. The half hasn't been told, but we're able to tell more when we have that culture of revelation where we're meeting with Jesus. Amen. We need to meet with Jesus. Abraham lived on Rhema, on what he heard and what he saw. Do you see Jesus at work in your life? Do you hear him speaking to you? Verse 23 says, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written where? In heaven, whose names are written in heaven, you have come to God, the judge of all the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Hallelujah. See, the blood of Jesus has sprinkled and washed away our sins at the mercy seat in heaven. Hallelujah. And he has purged and sprinkled the blood on our conscience that was once dead to the voice of God. And now our voice, our conscience has come alive to the Spirit, and we can hear him call our name. Hallelujah. Come follow me. Come serve me. Come write this song. Come on this missions journey. Come join me over here as I work in this area. Our conscience has been purged from dead works, and now we are alive to God. We're talking about developing a culture of revelation so that we hear Rhema in our spirit, so that we will always have a spring in our step, we'll have a joyful song in our heart, and we'll have a direction that comes from God himself. Many times we get our direction by looking at what the church down the street's doing. I know nobody here would do that. Praise God. I wonder what they're doing over there, how they getting folks in. And so we start looking for revelation in all the wrong places. We start looking to others rather than looking to God, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. But when we look to Jesus, hallelujah, and we listen to him, then we're able to be led into the fullness of his plan and purpose that he called us to. Verse 25 says, see to it. Say with me, see to it. See to it, that means there's something you got to do. He says, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not refuse, if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? Hallelujah. At the time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. Mount Sinai shook with the glory of God. Y'all, we need the glory of God that shakes us. Amen. We haven't been shook in a long time. Amen. We don't need a Mount Sinai experience, but when God comes and he speaks, there's an earthquake that goes off inside of your heart. When Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus and he was going about persecuting the way, Jesus spoke to him and he said, it's Jesus that you're persecuting, Saul. It shook him to the core that he said, who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? Because when the voice of God comes and he speaks, it shakes us into reality. It shakes us into truth. It shakes us into the purpose. It shakes us into the direction that God wants us to go. Are you with me? That's why we need to hear God's voice. Now, God's voice is not always going to be shouting at you. It comes in the whisper, in the still small voice. But whenever you hear his voice, it separates you from anything that is not glory and places you in glory. See, they had to put a veil on Moses' face as that temporary glory that he had received as he was with the Lord was passing away. But we don't have a glory that is passing away. God wants us to go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. So we have to keep hearing his voice. Hallelujah. And when we develop this culture of revelation of coming into the throne room and sitting in his presence and saying, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. And we take the word of God in there with us and we tune our hearts towards heaven where we belong. Amen. The earth is not our home. Y'all, that was a little weak. Amen. Maybe you've pitched your tent and this is as far as you want to go. But the earth is not our home. I said, the Holy of Holies is our home. In the presence of God forevermore. Right there with Jesus and the angels. Hallelujah. That's our home. We can't pitch our dwelling tent down here. We must pitch it towards heaven. And the only way we can do that is by running into the throne room every opportunity that we get, to, not just when we need a mercy, not just when we need a grace, because we need him all the time. He is the air we breathe. He is the song we sing. He is the life we live. He is our everything. Hallelujah. That's why we need to run into the throne room of God's grace. It says, at the time his voice shook the earth, but now his promise, once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Hallelujah. What remains? Faith, hope, love. Hallelujah. These three remain. The greatest of these is love. Hallelujah. You want some hope and some love, and you want the remaining presence of God, then we must get comfortable being in the throne room. See, Jesus already opened up through the veil of his flesh this new and living way. We sing about it. We shout about it. We sermonize about it. Hallelujah. We fellowship about it. We do all kinds of things about this good news. But do we live it? Do you live in that place? Or are we on the outside dreading and fretting what's going to happen in the world next? What's going to happen over here in this country or this nation? What's going to happen on the national scene? We're in the outer court. We're not in the inner court, because when you're in the inner court, hallelujah, and you're in the Holy of Holies, there's a place of peace. There's a place of rest, and you cannot be shaken. Everything down here is subject to shake in a moment. We live in Southern California, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Welcome to Southern Cal. Glory to God. But in God's presence, there are unshakable truths that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and in earth, that Jesus Christ is my healer. Jesus Christ is my baptizer. Jesus Christ is my friend. He's my Lord. Hallelujah. He's my soon coming King. These things cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. So run into the Holy of Holies. Run into the Holy of Holies. Run into the presence of God and say, Lord, I'm hanging out right here. I might be driving down the 405, but I'm in the Holy of Holies. I might be on the 91, Lord, help me, but I'm in the Holy of Holies, because I'm wrapped up and I'm all tied up in your presence, God, and I know that everything is going to be all right. It doesn't matter what they say on the news. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. I'm coming into your throne room, God, and I'm receiving your grace. I'm receiving your mercy. I'm receiving your strength. I'm receiving your hope. I'm receiving my restoration and my recovery of everything that the enemy tried to steal. He's got to give it back in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 27 says, therefore, say with me, therefore. Since we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Reverence and awe is when the glory of God shows up. Amen. Amen. So we should never worship God with the glory not present. Because if we are worshiping God acceptably, he says we're doing it with reverence and awe. That means we are aware of and we see his glory, because his glory brings reverence and awe. Just ask Isaiah when he saw the Lord high and lifted up and his glory filled the temple. He said, I'm coming undone at the seams. I can't even hold myself together because I have seen the King. I've seen awe. I have seen glory. Now you're ready to worship. Hallelujah. When you have seen awe and you have seen glory, when you have seen Jesus, now you're ready to worship. But see, we stay on the outer court where we haven't gone into the inner court. We haven't gone into the Holy of Holies, and we're trying to worship Jesus, and we're trying to worship what we don't see, what's not been revealed, what's not open, and what we're not beholding. But when we behold his face, then we're able to worship from a deeper place. And he said, that is acceptable worship. Hello. But when we're just worshiping based on a creed, based on a tradition, based on how I was brought up, or based on what gives me the tingles, or what makes me feel good, then I haven't seen the glory. I'm based on tradition, and the traditions of man will always make the word of God of no effect. We have to give up our traditions, even when our traditions are good, amen, because we want the better and the best. We want the glory of God. We want Jesus. Amen. I said we want Jesus. Amen. And in this place, hallelujah, of living and dwelling in the Holy of Holies, revelation is always coming to your spirit. You know what? You'll know what to preach next Sunday. Hallelujah. Amen. You'll know what counseling session to get in and which one to run out of. Oh, y'all better help me. Amen. Glory to God. Because you ain't supposed to be in all of them. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why you build a team. You got to have somebody help you. Moses, it ain't good for you trying to do all this by yourself. Jethro had some good advice for Moses, didn't he? Amen. We need to build a team, and we need to distribute the gifts and graces as the Holy Spirit has into the body of Christ. And we need to open the door and let them exercise those gifts so that the body of Christ will edify itself in love, and we will walk as one. Hallelujah. Nobody getting wore out, because everybody is giving out. Hey. But if only one person is giving out, somebody going to get wore out. Amen. But when we're doing it the way God says, and as he has distributed the gifts in the body, then we are able to function with the unction of the Holy Ghost. And we're able to see the glory of God as he reveals to us how to walk out our ministry, how to walk out our lives, how to walk out our families, how to walk out our destiny, how to walk out our purpose. We must develop in our lives a culture of revelation. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Say, I need Jesus. Therefore, since we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Are you thankful today? Amen. See, it starts with thanksgiving. See, we start in the outer court with thanksgiving. Jesus, I thank you for what you've done. And we just shout, thanking the Lord, thanking the Lord. And then you just waltz right on into the holy place, and you see Jesus, and then you fall on your face and you begin to worship from that deep place. Hallelujah. There's a real outline of how to worship there. Verse 29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. He doesn't come to consume the remnants of bulls and goats anymore, but he comes to receive our praise. He comes to receive the praise of your very life. Not just the song that you sing, but he comes to consume your very life. Are you consumed by God today? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Or he's just burning on a little piece of you, and there's no fire on the other piece. He wants your whole life to be a worship, your whole life to be a praise, so that he's burning and blazing his his glory on you, so that they will see not a glory that is passing away as it was fading on Moses' face, but they will see you walking from faith to faith and glory to glory. And they'll wonder why you've been in the ministry for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and you haven't given up, you haven't gotten tired. The culture has changed, all kind of things have changed on the earth, but you're still standing, and you're still standing strong and firm, and you see the miracles and the glory and the grace of God. Why? Because you're moving and you're dwelling in the right place. Amen. Hallelujah. Developing a culture of revelation. We need the Lord. Say with me, we need the Lord. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 13, Moses writes, "If you are pleased with me, Lord, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with me, with you. Remember that this nation is your people." Amen. Hallelujah. Moses was real quick to remind God whose people they were when things were getting tight. Amen. Maybe you've done that a few times yourself. Amen. But Moses said, "Lord, I want to know your ways." Do you know the ways of the Lord? He says, "Teach me your ways." God is teaching us his way today, and his way is to come to the holy place and lay it down and pick it up and keep moving. Amen. Did you hear me? Lay down the burden, pick up the glory, and keep on obeying. Amen. That's the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord. Lord, teach me your ways. You know, in Isaiah 55, Isaiah writes that God's thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. That doesn't mean we can't know them. Hello? He basically was just saying that we don't live like that. And he was really talking about the mercy and the grace and the love and the goodness of God in that chapter. That we don't live in a merciful world. We don't live sometimes even in a Christian paradigm that is filled with the mercy and the goodness and grace of God. But he says, teach me your ways. God is teaching us his ways so that we will know how to accurately represent what heaven looks like on earth. Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The way that we're able to walk that out is we have to experience the ways of God so that we live like God in the earth. And so when they see you loving folks that aren't loving you back, when they see you being patient and kind with people who are being mean to you, amen, y'all, this is where we live. Amen. Then they see what heaven looks like on earth. They see the ways of God. Lord, show me how to be merciful. Show me how to be kind. God went ahead and replied. In verse 14, it says, "The Lord replied." Aren't you glad that God answers back? We don't serve idols. We serve a living God. Amen. Say with me, he's a living God. Amen. And then a living God speaks. Amen. It says, "Then the Lord replied, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.'" Aren't those comforting thoughts? When God's presence goes with you, no matter what enemy comes up against you, you're victorious. Amen. Talk to David. He ruled for 40 years and Israel was at peace. Why? Because not because he was a great general and he was all of that, but it was because of the presence of God. And that's why he pitched that tent on Mount Zion, is because he got into the glory. He got into the presence. He entered into this place of God's presence even before Christ came. He plumbed the depths of worship that caused him to be able to tap into the presence of God that held him strong in the midst of all of the stuff that was shaking around him. Amen. And so God said to Moses, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." That doesn't mean that you don't have some work to do. Amen. "Well, I'm going on vacation." He said, "I'm getting rest." No, that doesn't mean that you go on a vacation. He means that while you're doing the work that he's called you to do, he's going to cause the rest of God to remain on you so that you would have the peace and the strength and the joy to do what he's called you to do. I mean, how many of you need the rest of God? I need the rest of God. Because sometimes you can go on vacation and that's more of a chore than staying home.
Amen. Picking up these bags, getting on an airplane, tossing, turning around. Oh, stop. This is supposed to be rest. You got to be kidding. No. But when you enter into the Holy of Holies and you dwell with Jesus, the tempest and the storm in your mind, the report that you just got on the phone, the things that are breaking out in the church and in the ministry, they're robbing you of any kind of peace. But when you get into his presence and you just say, Jesus, 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 all of a sudden you feel like it's going to be okay. You don't know how, but you know it's going to be okay because he's with you. His presence is going with you, and you find that rest in Jesus. Hallelujah. That he's going to help you. He's going to walk with you. He's going to be in you. Hallelujah. And he's going to move you through the difficult season into the season. Hallelujah. That you can be at peace. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. It's a peace that can't be taken away. It's all in the holy place. This is where we dwell. Amen. You say, well, where is it at? Just call on Jesus and it's right there. You don't need to go to a temple. You don't need to go to a tabernacle. You don't need to pitch a tent outside your house. Amen. All you do is say, Jesus. And we enter right into the holy place where the angels are. Hallelujah. Where God is in all of his glorious power. And say, God, I need your help over here on this corner. I need your help over here. I need your help over here, Lord. I need your help. And he rushes mercy and grace from his throne room to meet that place of need. If it's a place of weakness in your own life, he brings mercy to cover you. If it's a bad report from the doctor or all the things that are out of your control, he sends forth grace and power and strength, and mercy and grace meet up and they just begin to fall on all the stuff and you're just at rest in the presence of the Lord. My soul is at rest. My mind is at peace because Jesus Christ is dwelling in me. Hallelujah. Do you live like that? This is what God is calling us to. He's calling us to his glory. He says, my presence will go with you. Hallelujah. And I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Amen. How many of us take off on our own? Don't raise your hand. Amen. You know God's presence is not going, but you gone anyway. Say, God, catch up with me later. I got this to do, and I want you to meet me over here at the hospital when I go pray. Meet me at the hospital. I hope he went with you to the hospital when you went there to pray for them people. Amen. Meet me over here, God. No. If he ain't going with you, you need to stand still. Amen. Lord, come on, let's go. Amen. You lead the way, I'll follow. Where you lead, I will follow. Where you lead, I will go. Amen. He says, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Do you know that God is pleased with you? Or do you feel like he's angry with you? See, the reason he's pleased with us is because we hide ourselves in Jesus. Hello? It's not because you did everything right and you said everything right and you know, you just really got it all together. He's pleased with us because of Jesus, and he's pleased with what Jesus has done. He's pleased with Jesus' sacrifice. He's pleased with his obedience. He's pleased with him going to the cross. He's pleased with him shedding his blood. He's pleased with Jesus, so he's pleased with you. Well, there was a couple of amens, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. Do you know that your names are written in heaven? He knows you by name. Hallelujah. You don't have to go, now God, remember me, that I'm Joe. You know, don't confuse me with Joe Smith down there and, you know, Joe Johnson over here. You know, I'm Joe Brown. You know, no, he's not going to be confused. He knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly where you're dwelling. He knows exactly where you're missing it. And he knows exactly where you're getting it right. And guess what? He still loves you. And he's still pleased with you. Because he's still working on us. Amen? Amen? Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in me. Amen. He's still working on the inside. Amen? Amen? Because there's still some changes on the outside that need to happen. Is that right? Amen. Amen. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in me. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in me. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in me. Oh, what a great, great change. Oh, what a great, great change. Oh, what a great, great change. See, the reason we need to develop a culture of revelation is because we need to keep changing. Because when Jesus shows up, his light shines on something else that need to change, and we say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I know we visited that one yesterday, but yes, sir. Yes, sir. Didn't we go over that one last month? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Because when he shows up, he brings who he is to the table. And y'all know what we bring to the table. Amen. And so we need the Lord's help all the time. Hallelujah. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. Oh. Show me the weightiness of your presence. Because God, I got some things that are weighing me down and I need the weightiness of your presence to lift them off of me. Show me your glory. And the Lord says, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. And I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there's a place by me where you may stand on a rock, and when my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back and my face, but my face must not be seen. Listen, through the new and living way that Jesus has made for us, we can now have bold access into the very throne room of God. And we can see his glory and allow his glory to touch us and to fill us because we've been washed in the blood. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Hallelujah. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. And so what he has done is he's washed us clean. And now we are prepared for glory. Hallelujah. And now we can not only see his glory, but now we can participate in his glory moving in and through and upon our lives. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. If there was ever a time that glory needs to be on the earth, it's now. And it's through the people of God, those who are surrendered and walking in obedience to his will. God is pleased to pour his glory upon us so that the world that is living in gross darkness will see us. Because he says, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Even though there's gross darkness upon the earth, it will not come near you, says the Lord, because my glory will be seen upon you. Hallelujah. Because you've been dwelling in the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. And when we live in that place, God reveals to us the truth of who Jesus is. He reveals to us that he's our healer. He reveals to us that wherever there's separation and disconnection and brokenness in our lives, that his glory will come to cover us. Did you hear me? This is good news. It's what Jesus has done. This is what Jesus has done. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Our sackcloth and ashes is not going to make us any more worthy. It's what Jesus has done. Do we repent? Absolutely. Repentance is a gift that God has given us. And if you're going to maintain a culture of revelation in your life, you're going to have to be a person who is quick to repent. Amen. I call it the repentant lifestyle. Amen. And as soon as the Lord shows up, you see where you fell short. And that's when you need to say, sorry, Lord, I repent. Change my mind. Change my direction. Change my heart. Change my thinking. Change everything. I'm repenting right now, God. Hallelujah. Amen. So to maintain a culture of revelation, you have to be a person who's quick to repent. We never get to the place that we don't need to repent. Hello? Amen. That's how you maintain a culture of revelation, because I think that's one of the reasons we don't like being in the Holy of Holies. And we just run in there when we get in trouble, is because God is always telling us stuff that need to change and we don't want to change. I mean, I know nobody here is like that, but I, amen. Amen. But when we go into the throne room of God's grace, hallelujah, we do business with the King. Amen. You don't just go into the throne room of grace and throw that out when somebody is sick. Oh, I'm coming to the throne room of grace, God. I'm bringing them in here. Or you have a wayward child. I'm coming to the throne room of grace. I'm bringing them in here, God. You know how hard-headed they are. No. You don't run into the throne room just because of an issue. You run there all the time because we need to be there. Lord, I'm bringing myself to the throne room of grace. Help me in my hour of need. Hallelujah. But see, we use the Holy of Holies as a place that we transact heavenly business based on a construct of our understanding, and it's not based on the ways of God. That's why Moses said, Lord, show me your ways. Teach me your paths. I need to know you and how you do things, because what I'll do is I'll take your holy purposes and I will boil them down to something that I can control, and then I will use it and I'll manipulate it for my own purpose. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths. I want to dwell in the holy place. Lord, not just when I have a need, but Lord, I'm here because I just want to hang out with you, because I want to be more like Jesus. Do you want to be more like Jesus? Listen, we all have troubles, amen? We all have trials and tribulations that come. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18 says this, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Listen to me. Don't get hung up on your troubles. Don't get hung up on your afflictions and the things that are going on. According to the Apostle Paul, these things are light compared to the eternal glory that God is bringing into our lives that outweigh all of those things. Contend for the glory. Lord, show us your glory. We can see the circumstances. We can see the troubles. We can see the trials. We can see the tribulation. But God, I don't want to get locked in on that. I want to see your glory greater in my life than my troubles and my afflictions. Verse 18 says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? But what happens to us is we get fixated on what we can see and we miss out on the eternal. I believe that God is bringing his leaders and pastors and the people in the church back to a place that we get the right order and the right perspective of things. And in this unveiling of who Jesus is, it helps us to get things right so that we're able to access the full grace of God, and we're able to access the glory of God to the degree that we can represent him accurately in the earth. Because a lot of what the people in the earth are seeing is not really what the kingdom looks like. Amen. But God is helping us. Say, God's helping me. Amen. God is helping me. And when he comes to help us, everything is going to be all right. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but he said to me, this is the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness.
Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. So that Christ's power may rest on me. That word rest on me means to dwell in me. It means to reside in me, to rest upon me, to live in me. That literally what the Apostle Paul was saying is that God wants to come and pitch a tent of his dwelling in our soul. That's what Jesus did. According to John chapter 1, he came and dwelled and pitched his tabernacle with men. And now God is saying, I'm pitching the tabernacle of my glory with you. So that whatever the trial, whatever the temptation, whatever the tribulation, whatever the trouble, my grace is sufficient. And when you dwell in the Holy of Holies, grace and mercy will always be flowing to you at the time that you need it. You don't have to beg for it. You don't have to plead for it. All you have to do is receive it. Hallelujah. Because he's our Father. He says, seek, you'll find. Ask, it'll be given. Knock, the door will be open to us. So we don't have to beg, oh God, please help me. Lord, please, please, please. No, no, we don't have to do that. No, 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 no. We're his children. Amen. He's our Abba. He's our Father. And so when we call on him from the place that he has called us to dwell, we will find the mercy and the help and the strength that we need. Creating a culture of revelation is not some ABC 1-2-3 step. It's just getting into the presence of God and saying, Lord, I'm not leaving here until I have had true fellowship with you. Amen. Amen. True fellowship with you. Not that I'm not leaving here until you heal my child or take away my disease or, yeah, we need him to do all of those things. But we just need to be with him. We need to be with him. And it's in being with him that his grace will be sufficient for us while we wait for his timing for all those needs to be met. Because God is working out stuff that we don't see. Amen. It doesn't mean he doesn't care or he's aloof in the heavens. He has heard you. Even before the words came on your tongue, he knew what you were going to say. And he cares for you. Hallelujah. Do you know that Jesus cares for you? Amen. And in his caring, he's already made provision for your needs to be met. But he wants us to become comfortable coming into the Holy of Holies and not being afraid to fellowship with our God, to fellowship with our Father, and to just enjoy time in his presence. This is how you create a culture of revelation. Because when you're there, he will talk to you. Amen. Amen. And it's not going to be about the person down the street. Amen. He's going to talk to you about you and your relationship and where you need to recalibrate some things so that you will be able to carry the weight and the burden of the call that he has given to you so generously. Amen. Do you love Jesus this afternoon? Yes. It's an honor to be able to share the word of the Lord. This is how I try to live. Don't always get it right. But I'm always running into the presence of the Lord. And even when things get tough and they get difficult, I can always hear his voice. I can always sense him saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I'm like, well, Lord, I don't know how. It's going to be okay. But when I hear him say it's going to be okay, then I'm okay. Amen. Then I can smile. I can continue to persevere. I can continue to walk in peace and enjoy and absolutely love God, love his people, and love what he's called me to do and live for him. Create a culture of revelation in your life of hearing the voice of Jesus. You know, I think we just don't practice listening to him enough. He'll take the words in this book and he'll speak them back to you as rhema in a particular situation, in a moment that you need it. You understand what I'm saying? He's never going to tell you anything that's contrary to his word. He's already given you the revelation of 66 books of the Bible of who he is. But what he will do through the power of the Spirit when you dwell in the Holy of Holies is he will take this word and he will speak it into situations that you're in. That's what he did with the Apostle Paul. When you look at the teachings of Paul, he was teaching from the Torah. He was teaching from the word that he knew, and the Holy Spirit will illuminate it and bring understanding in the contextual time that he was in so that he would know what was going on. Hallelujah. Why? Because he was always spending that time in the presence of the Lord. And when you spend that time in the presence of the Lord, it's not going to exempt you from trouble. Paul had trouble. He got stoned. He got snake bitten. He got shipwrecked. All that stuff happened. But he stayed the course because he was always hearing from the Father, because he was living in the Holy of Holies. And he was living in a culture of revelation so that he would be able to fulfill what God had called him to do. Amen. And this is the lifestyle that the Lord is calling us to. Amen. Let's stand together. With the worship team come, and as we get ready to close, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Mount Zion. We're not at Mount Sinai, we're in Mount Zion. We're in the presence of God, amen? And when we enter into his presence, just by calling on his name, by worshiping him and glorifying him, then we will find the strength and the power to endure. My dear brothers and sisters, this is a transforming moment. I'm so grateful that you heard the Holy Spirit and came to Fire in Our Bones. But as we were praying for this conference, I just sensed the Lord being so clear in my heart that this was going to be a conference that would really change the trajectory of your ministry and the direction that you're going, in that it would be more fruitful, more joyful, as you have the unveiling of Jesus more and more and more. You say, hey, I've been preaching Jesus a long time. I know him. Yeah, we all do. But I want you to know that the riches of who he is so unfathomable. Please don't stop contending. Please don't stop going after him. Please don't stop moving towards him, because there's so much more. There's so much more to Jesus than you and I have plumbed if we've been in the work for 50 or 60 years. There's so much more that we don't know. Let him continue to lead us and guide us into all that he has for us. We need your help, oh Lord. We need your glory. We need to know your ways, O Lord. We need to know your plans. We don't understand. We don't understand. Lord, give us understanding. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know. Lord, make yourself known so that we can be your people indeed. Lord, we thank you that you've removed all the darkness. You've brought forth the power of your light. We work and we live for you, not by our power, not by our might, but we dwell in your presence, O Lord. It's the best place that we can be. Keep opening the eyes of my heart so that I can see, I can see, I can see. I want to see Jesus. 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 I want to see him high and lifted up, his glory filling the earth. I want to see him high and lifted up, his glory filling my life. Hallelujah. 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 Lift your hands right where you're standing and just say, Lord Jesus, thank you for being patient with me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for calling me. Thank you
fulfilling me with the power of your grace. Lord, I surrender all of my plans to you. Have your way, O Lord. I give you my life. I give you my ministry. I give you my family. I give you my hopes. I give you my dreams. I give you my joy. I give you my sorrows. I give you everything. In Jesus' name. Amen.